I want to just stay with this, where we are with King of Glory, this encounter we had, this incredible realm. It just doesn't stop, but he's really, really showing us, he's culminating everything right now, which is just phenomenal. I say this all the time. I say, this is it, this is it, this is it. Because he's everything. I know it's it, because he's the one that has it all. Man, he is holding the final crown glory. I said, he has the fullness on him. He has all the Father has. He's been sitting up there waiting for somebody to come and get you some. But man, what he's asking us to do now is to receive him with all of it. So I want to say a few things about that, and I'll get into that. When he was with his disciples, he says, who do you say I am? That's a huge question. Who do you say I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. My Father has shown you something, Peter. Even the disciples don't know this. He goes, my Father has spoken this to you. He goes, but upon this rock or this foundation stone of revelation, I'm going to build my entire church. Now I'm going to say it like this. Who do you say I am? If God come and ask me, who do you say I am? I'd say, you're the King of Glory. Because all my life is getting to this one point to see him as King of Glory. And then you know what he'll say? I'm going to say this the way he wrote it. He said it to me, with this final stone, this crowning stone, I will finish my church. We're in the time where he's going to finish all things. We're in the season that all nations are going to be brought in to the glory of God. And then the ones that don't, he is going to rule them and crush them with a rod of iron in the last days. I mean, everything is culminating. All of the plans of God. I know the Lord's excited about this. You gotta know he's been waiting on this a long time. He's coming for his massive harvest. And he's going to raise his church up to do this. So I want to get into this aspect. Who do you say I am? Or who is this King of Glory? And the Lord said, I need you to write a constitution. Another one. A final one. Of everything you have learned. And I don't want you to leave one piece out. This is not going to be one for apostolic government. This is going to be for the King of Glory. But there is so much he's given because I want it all encompassing. Started that today. So we got the first part done. Praise God. Go at it. And then he just starts showing you what to do. I just sat down on the computer. I said, all right, let's go. He just kicked me in gear and it's rolling now because this constitution's everything because it's the summation of what you see. You have to see him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. But you have to see him in this realm. Not just have the knowledge. You've got to see and you have to have a panoramic vision of who he is as this King of Glory. Because your revelation of him will determine what you receive. You're walking in the revelation that you receive. He's coming back as this King of Glory. He didn't reveal himself as King of Glory to the early church. He revealed himself as the foundation stone. And that's how they knew who he was. And that's what they carried. But they carried the glory of that because they were building that foundation. I used to forever just want to be one of those guys. I said, God, I wish I was born in that generation. It's like in my DNA. But now that I'm seeing what he's offering us, I'm like, they want to be us. I promise you they trade places to sit in the crowning of the church. They want to see how he's going to crown out the ages. He is going to crown it out, praise God. I want you to look at for a minute, a couple of scriptures. I want to describe tonight more of the dynamic of what we're doing with this prayer thing that we have going on because it's culminating now. And I'm trying to get you all to see what we see. I mean, sometimes I just think everyone sees and then I realize they don't after talking to them. So I'm trying to paint it all out. We see the same thing. Amen. The first thing he says in Matthew 6, I want to just kind of go to this Lord's prayer for a minute. He said in this part of it, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Got that part. He says, thy will be done. Actually, the word done means finished, completed on earth. This is the mandate. Say, as it is in heaven. Now, I got to get this part over so you'll understand what we're doing. I know we preach this all the time, but your ability to see what I'm saying is more important than the knowledge itself. The light has to come on. So when he says, "Thy will be done or finished on the earth as it is what?" Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in heaven that's not completed? There's no time, so it's finished. In other words, when Jesus sits as your healer, is he still needing to do a few more things? He has healed you. By his stripes, you were. See how he does that past tense thing? By his stripes, you were, say were, healed. What he's saying is, in this model, you have to identify it's finished. That is everything. Everything is finished. Everything is done. Everything's completed there. That part of it, let me share it this way so you'll understand it. Because the Lord said, you're actually doing this, and you don't know you're doing it. He says, you're already accessing my finished work. You don't really know that you've been doing it, but I'm going to let you in on how you're doing it. And I said, well, tell me if I'm accessing, because I need to see some fruit. He goes, you do it all the time. And I said, really? He said, yes. And he said to me, he said, what do you think going on when you walk up into my righteousness or when you walk up into my rest? How many times, those of you that really know how to enter in, that know how to get in there, how many times that I would be out of alignment, out of order, there would be works, toil, labor. My heart was so in a disharmonious state. You're entering into something that I'm not going to do for you. You're entering something I've already done for you. I stand in the finish line, but you have enough faith to take all your stuff and just take it into me. See, it doesn't matter how you came in. It matters how you came out. And what you did, he goes, when you entered into the rest, what happens? The finished work commenced, and whatever was there, the finished work wiped it out. So what happens is all anxiety can't stay because it's in a realm that's come into a realm of finish. When you start touching the finished realm of God, you're touching something that's powerful. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So all that stuff has to bow at the finish. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to bring him to where I am. I had to bring me to where he is. But when I got me into where he is, all I had to do is just stay in there long enough, and then it all lifted. Because this little spirit is trying to agitate me before prayer this morning. And all of a sudden that agitation left, and all of a sudden peace, rest, harmony. It was glorious. He's same way with the righteousness. Notice what Paul says when you're dealing with the righteousness. He says that you're holy and without blame. There's times you're walking with God, but you're not holy. But he says you're holy. And he presents you faultless. And I'm like, I know I'm not faultless. And I know I'm not holy right now. But he's presenting you that way. Why? Because you're taking all your stuff and folding it into him. And what happens, like Paul said, I'm found in him, not having mine own. He's going to always be working on you, but he's always standing in a higher place. And he's always inviting you positionally. You are who he says you are. You are what he is, because he's the express image for all of us. So all I got to do is step into his image. You see what I'm saying? And as I step into his image, that image starts releasing. And all of a sudden, it envelops me into the place of being holy and without blame. Why was that so important that we learned how to do that? Because the enemy's constantly accusing us. The Bible says he accuses us night and day. And we have to wipe out those accusations in the heavenly court, or you can't move freely. If you have an accusation or condemning sentence or self-condemnation or man's condemnation or the enemy's condemnation, if that stuff is working, it'll cause a dysfunction or disharmony. You won't be able to move freely. I remember when Kevin Sadai, I think it was when the Lord showed him his, he goes, what you really got to deal with is that part of you right there, that dark vest. It was like a black vest. It wasn't like that. And it was a soul. He goes, that's all the stuff you got to deal with, see. We got to get that stuff off. But positionally in him, it's already off. So we're not really moving into a future position. We're moving into a now finished position. Right? Your faith is simply stepping into what already is and appropriating what already is. And suddenly things transform. They change. I've seen it almost every day. We do this. It's incredible. And when you start learning how to do this, you just get in there and God shifts it and changes it because we're seeing him in this finished role. We've identified the finished role and we step in and accept the finished role, receive the finished work. And then it does something. It literally removes who we were and makes us who he is. And then we walk out with Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are literally accessing a finished position. Now, I want to take all that thought. And I want to show you this in the arena of the King of Glory. It's hugely important we see what's going on there. But when we approach the King of Glory, the first thing we have to understand is there's a lot there. There is a huge, I mean, he sitteth king forever. There's so much there we need to write a constitution. But he has spent 30 years, and especially these last 10 to 12, on showing us who he is there, what he's inherited there, what he is in that finished role as King of Kings, what he has received in all of these panoramic inheritances. He's received the crown. He's received the house of David. He's received the seven spirits of God. He's received the lampstands. He's received the fullness of the Father. He's received the being the point of the air. All the nations are his. So you go down the line and start drawing circles of all the things, and he sitteth as king of all of it. And when you look at him that way, I mean, in the knowledge factor, when you're trained in it, we're learning year after year after year, it just becomes knowledge. But when you, and it's what I want to get over tonight, bring that knowledge to him. See, the key is this. Everything he gave us in the arena of this revelation, because there's not a lot of people preaching on this realm right now. Not that they're not going to preach on this realm, because he's going to multiply it in the earth. So when he stands and he sitteth king there, he sends us like he's sitting in the finished position. The finisher of the nations, the finisher of the body of Christ, the finishing glory, the finishing works. He's going to finish all things that they started in the early church. He's going to finish it in our generation. This is a generation that seeks thy face, O God. There's a generation that's going to obtain this. Not one person, but a whole generation is going to obtain his fullness. They're going to walk like he walked. What he promised us in John 14, 15, 16, 17. A whole generation's going to obtain it. See, he sits in this finished position. All those revelations he sent us year after year after year after year, he was sending it from this finished position. Each and just one thing after another, and we would get it over here and like, this is it, this is it, this is it. And that's just a piece of the pie. So this is another candy you're opening up. There's another piece and another piece and another piece. And every time, because you're only seeing in part. He wasn't going to let you see the whole thing. It wasn't time to see the whole thing. He didn't want us to see the whole thing. Nor did he want us to run out there and try to build it either. Where is this King of Glory? Not who is this King. We know who he is. Where is this King of Glory? I mean, when's he going to show up? I get all that. But we're having to make this journey of faith, and we're all in that journey together, and we're having to look into the unseen and preach the unseen. That's not easy to do. It's a lot easier to preach with demonstration. I said, God's be a lot easier if we preach with demonstration. He goes, yeah, but if I did that, you'd blow up and you would not obtain what I was looking for. He goes, so I kept you this on this path to obtain something, a prize. There's a huge prize. We're sitting on the prize of prizes now. We have opened the room and bam, I'm like, whoa. And I had this encounter last week and I'm in the right hand of God, and I have been going up into what I call the dispensation of the throne room of the dispensation of the crown. I've been going up into there probably the last 3 or 4 months. Sometimes it would be glorious, but I didn't really get it until last week. It changed everything, because when I went, I had an encounter. Literally, I don't know how to explain it, but he stood up from his throne and in the glory that you can see in there, the way you see it. And he walked straight into me. And when he walked into me, I realized what he was wanting us to do. When you see these different realms, you want each one. It's like when I used to follow men of God around, I'd see their anointing. I'm like, I want that. And I want that. I get on a plane and go follow all these people around because I'm so hungry for the anointing. And God was going, if you only knew what I have for you. You know, finally, it's like you settle all that because you find out there's not much. When you part the waters out there, you see all these realms in him. You want this and this and this. He goes, I don't want you to access parts. I want you to have me. But I want you to have me in an undefined role. That's Christ in you. We all have. How many of us have Jesus living in you? Raise your hand. So we all have Jesus in us, right? But that's not the one he wanted to walk into us with. That's not the one that walked into me in that encounter. That wasn't Jesus' Savior. This was King of Glory. Every single inheritance he had, and I already knew what he had because we've been doing this so long. I already knew what he was wearing. I knew the seven spirits of God with him. I knew the Father was with him. He had already promised three or four different times in the book of Zechariah that he was going to be the glory in our midst and a wall of fire around about us. That he was promising our generation he was going to step off that throne and come and inhabit us. As he did Moses, as he did Solomon. He was coming to inhabit his church in the last days. A visible manifestation of the glory of God into the earth. He was going to be with us. Not with the Holy Spirit falling upon us, doing the gift realm and lifting. That he was bringing the full weight of his glory. The full weight of the glory would be upon the nail, and the nail would come down and he would hang all the weight upon that nail, and then all that would be brought down into us. I knew he wanted to do that. All that was with him. And so when he stepped into me, I saw all this panoramic, everything he's inherited there, all the operations of it. I mean, you've got Father with him. You got Holy Spirit as the seven spirits of God. You have the angels. You have the operations of time habitation. You have the seven eyes of the Lord, seven horns of the Lord. I mean, you just go down the line. It's all there. The Bana, everything about it, he's holding it. The wealth of the nations, the seven inheritances, and it's all done. It's all finished. There was nothing left undone. There's nothing left to do. He forever sat down as the appointed heir of God. He sat down. All he wanted was someone to understand and to receive it. And he needed a faith to do it. He needed a people to come up. So we look at Psalms 24. Because now you're going to understand what we're about to do. We're on a final leg of a very long journey. It's going to open up a most excellent glory in the earth. The glory, I mean the stuff that he is wanting to do and talking to us about right now. I mean, just one day with him is going to unload generational inheritance. Boom! He's going to change the dynamic by which the way the church is funded. He's going to change the whole thing, just like he did when he took him out of the wilderness. He stopped the man. He says, I'm not doing it that way anymore. I have a brand new way of living. I'm going to give you lands that you did not sow, and cities and homes you did not build, and vineyards and olive arts you didn't plant. It's going to be a total mind shift for the way you were doing things. Circumcise again, Egypt. You are not coming in here with an Egyptian mentality of works, toil, labor. We're not doing it that way. It's not going to happen that way. Yeah, when I've been in the wilderness, see, he goes, I'm going to get that out of you too. Because it's nothing like anything you've done before. It's a new day. Well, Jesus is this promised land. The Father is in him, and the Father has given it all to him. He's in charge of all of it. He's in charge of the whole kit and caboodle of the last days. He's got it all. You understand that those lamps are burning before the throne, seven lamps, which are seven spirits of God. The elders are sitting there and they threw their crowns down into the lamps. Because the lamps are receiving the mandate of the last days. They were receiving the Father's will for all seven continents and the tongues and the tribes and the nations. Everything is going to come into alignment. And then all of those lamps get converted into a crown. It says the Lion of Judah is going to wear it, but the Lamb came up to receive it. And the Lion of Judah going to open the book, and all that got set on him, ready to roll it out. Everything's ready. There's an army of angels that have been assigned 10,000 times, 10,000s and thousands and thousands, ready to come. Daniel 7, it says the throne has wheels of fire on it. This thing is about to come out from the heavens down into the earth. So Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. She says, I am coming to harvest everything. And that which will not be harvested, they will be broken with a rod of iron. This is the part we don't have to do it. He's going to do it. But we got to get him out from that throne with all of that here. And that's what this is about now. So Psalm 24, he gets in that part with it. He said, who shall ascend in the Lord? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who's not lifted his soul to idolatry. See, there is a solidification. It's not the hill. Who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord? That's what we've been doing. We get in the mountain of God. He starts working with us. He solidifies our standing in that mountain. He solidifies our position in that mountain. He said, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. You're going to be secured in your position. You got to get secured before next phase. See, I'm in the mountain is awesome enough. If God can just get people into the mountain, but he's getting in the mountain to get them ready for something greater. Getting in the mountain is getting ready for the inheritance of the King of Glory. He says, now, this is the generation that will seek his face. That's the same face that Abraham, same word, Peniel, when he says, when the father stood before him and God appeared before him, it says, walk before me today. You're going to walk before my face today. Same word. This is a whole generation is going to come up before his face. Right? But what are we obtaining? The face of the finished work. We have to obtain. He's already obtained. We'll say it like this. We have to receive. But we had to solidify in the mountain. So God spent all this time getting us solidified. Now what's he say? Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your heads, O you everlasting doors. And this King of Glory shall come in. See, you're coming out from the mountain up into another part. The King of Glory part, the finishing part, the glory. Lift up your head, O you gates. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong in battle. Daniel saw him in his glory. John saw him in his glory. See, there's a dimension we're going to see him that's different. I can preach this to you, but them guys saw him. They saw his feet burning and his hair white and eyes of fire and a sword, flaming sword. They saw him. They fell at his feet like a dead man. That's a different realm of beholding him. That's a different realm of looking at him because there's a day we're going to go up in there. We're going to see him too. That's part of it, baby. We're going to see the Lord in his glory. We're going to represent the King of Glory. Not just represent it. He's going to come and stand in us. He's coming off that throne. Our hands are going to be his hands. Our feet are going to be his feet. Our heart's going to be his heart. Our mind's going to be his mind. Our mouth's going to be his mouth. There's a day you're going to be listening and he's not going to be us speaking, but him speaking through us. He will do his works through us. The Father's coming with him. He's got the seven spirits of God with him. More is given to this generation than any other generation. The early church didn't get all this. That's what Paul was like, oh God, let me back in there. Get me back in there. They're going to get all of it. Lift up your head, O you gates. Be you lifted up, O you everlasting door, and this King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. That's another aspect of him. We were trying to get all his angels down here before, and we just work in faith. Like, you know, we see a revelation, we jump. Praise God. At least we jump. Amen. God said, you haven't got it all yet, but he goes, when I come down, they'll come down. When I come down, they'll be with me. The whole, there'll be a flaming wall of fire around you. No one will touch you when I come down. No one will harm you when I come down. There'll be a flaming fire and I will stand in the midst in my glory. My Father will manifest his glory out of your temple. He goes, I have the house of David. I'm going to bring it right down into the Father's house. I have the key to the house, and I'm going to open it right there. I went, well, how do you know that? Because I believe. Praise God. See, he's seen this. Who is this King of Glory? But David is seeing a prophetic picture of this end time king that's coming out with all the glory, and a whole generation is going to walk as kings. You have to understand, David's a king, see. And so when we're going up into this realm, as we begin our ascent in these next couple of months, weeks, days, hours, I don't know, because we're all over it right now. I mean, he won't let me have a break. He says, start the Constitution now. I'm like, I will. He goes, no wills now. Because he wants the Constitution of who he is. He goes, don't leave anything out. You don't have to preach every single revelation, because most of those constitutions, they're revelations in themselves, but you have to have the revelation. They're not going to be like a book and describe the revelation. We're just going to put the scripture there and just hope you understand the revelation. But you are the one that understands. That's what's important. You're the one, because here is what this whole message is about. All that was foundation. He goes, I want you to take all these words that I sent you. I sent them from my realm, and I want you to bring them back into my realm. And I want you to hold, and this body, this core, hold this vision of the finished King of Glory. And I want you to rehearse it, just like you did that Constitution for Apostolic Government. And I want you to rehearse it, but it's where you do it at. You don't do that in the lily's grace. You don't do that in the love of the Father. You do that after that. You go up into the realm where he sits, where you sit. You got to know. That's why you got to know who you are, because you're not going to walk up into that realm as an orphan and start talking like this. You're not going to do it. You won't make it. You have to have strength to do that too. I'm telling you, it takes strength to walk up into the glory. The glory takes a lot out of your body. But I'm sharing with you where we are. Everything, our whole journey has culminated right here. There's no greater place than what we're standing in right now. Because we're about to get it all. That's what he's letting me know. He goes, you're not just going to get part, you're going to get me as the King of Glory. And everything you know about me, I want you to stand there, and to me, to thee, we ascribe glory. I want you to acknowledge every part. And I want you to do it again. Acknowledge every part. Because every part you're acknowledging is the part I'm coming out with. Here's another reason you do it. You acknowledge it before him because it's a new place. Who in here are the righteousness of God in Christ? Raise your hand. Say, I am the righteousness. Do you know in the Pentecostal holiness days, and nobody could raise their hand. Because they were all up at the altar getting repenting and getting resaved every Sunday morning. And then there comes the righteousness of God, and it was a whole new revelation for everybody. Well, this realm of the King of Glory, now we have the knowledge of it, but we need to see him. Because we're going up there to receive him. So painting the panoramic picture and acknowledging who he is. So we're acknowledging him. Every day you're doing that, it's lighting the room. I remember the Lord gave me that time. He took me up into the mountain, and he took me out of my body. That was pretty amazing encounter. We were going up, and I saw this city look like New York, the skyline times four. It was golden, and all these people were in there, and I'm like, oh, I want down there. And we were moving up, and I said, what is that? He goes, that's the room of my blessing. And then we went through this barrier kind of cloud like thing, and then we stood up on top of this mountain, and there was this ancient looking door there, and on top it said room of inheritance. And we walked into the room. And it was dark, but I saw wealth in there. It's kind of like you could see the outline of wealth, like, what's that movie with Nicolas Cage, National Treasure? You could see, but you couldn't see. And I'm thinking, why is this room dark? And he says, as soon as I thought it, he said, it's dark for two reasons. One is because most of you see, things you see here is under enemy control. But the second reason, most importantly, is because the church doesn't give any light to this room. They're all down in the room. A blessing. They're down there. That's where they give all the light. So that's where they walk. So the reason why you ascribe the glory and ascribe the position, ascribe the inheritance, ascribe the operations, ascribe what he's received, who he is, what the Father's given him, what he has, where he is, you're doing that. You're painting the picture. But every time your faith releases like this, it opens a room. Just like this mountain that we do here before. I mean, just getting through the door was awesome, but we kept doing it. It was just easier to move in these realms. People could start moving into the realms easier as they started moving in and started doing it and exercising again. They found out they could enter in. These were very real places. They were giving light to it. But this realm is most important because this is the one where he sitteth king. It's the pinnacle of all things. This is the realm of the last day, final stone. He's Zerubbabel up there, and he has the final crown, and he's the only one that can bring all of it out. But he has to bring it out the way he designed it. It's not going to come out under a gift realm operation. It's going to come out under the realm of union operation. It's going to come out in the realm of John 17, what he promised. Man, I was thinking this the other day. I'm thinking, he was in that upper room. Carlos, he was sitting in that upper room and he started speaking these words. No telling where he was. How far out in the future was he when he actually gave these words? Because to them and their generation, union with the Father and what they were going to obtain with him was going to be different for us. Because they didn't get the crown. I think Paul saw the crown. I think he saw the generation that was going to receive. He said, let us go to perfection. Because he wrote the book of Hebrews. Because I think he saw this day. But think about it. Anybody that obtained this. I want you to go to John 17. I know you've heard it 1,000 times. But I want you to see this very clearly. Because what he said to me was this. He said, it's necessary that you see me who I am. Who do you say I am in this realm? What do you know about me? What do you understand about where I sit and what I'm going to do? Who I am, what I've done, well, what I'm going to do in your realm. What do you know? What have you seen? I have sent many, many things from this realm to you where you are. But I want you to bring it all back to me now. And I want you to represent, who do you say I am? Stand in front of his face and declare who he is. See who he is. See what he's inherited. See the operation. See the promises. See him coming off the throne. See him coming down into the earth with his Father, fulfilling his promises. You see that? I and my Father will come make our abode with you. Zechariah says, I'll be a wall of fire about you and I'll be the glory in your midst. Is that big enough? But who's coming down? Is it deliverer? He came down as deliverer for Moses. Who's coming down? Look at John 17. All right, look at verse 22. Here's the beautiful thing. Everything we're about to do has already been done and been given. And I mean, he's on our side here. Already been prayed, by the way, by him. So all we have to do is go and access it. He told me this. He said, this is your final stand before I step out from this throne into the earth. And I'm going to step into my people as King of Glory. And the day my feet stand on your feet, you'll see demonstration just like that. You will see me demonstrate the kingdom of God the way everybody has been looking for me to demonstrate. Because it's not you demonstrating. It's not an old order demonstrating. He goes, I've come off my throne with all my glory and I'll demonstrate it before. So verse 22, he's praying this final prayer, but this is huge. Take off everything you already know about this verse. Set it on a shelf just for 1 second. Verse 22, and the glory, say the glory, which thou gavest me, Father, I've given them, that they may be one as we're one, I in them where they are, thou, Father, in me where they are. that they may be perfect in the oneness, that the world may know that you've sent me and you've loved them too, the same way you love me. The world may know you're with them the same way you were with me. I want you to do the same way, Father, that we did it. You came out of heaven and you dwelt in me, bodily form, and you did your works through my body. You and I, Father, are going to go dwell in them. Okay, we knew that part beforehand. Here's the part that blew me out of the saddle. Because he asked for a prayer. Then he prays this prayer. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory you've given me. I pray that they understand, they behold it, they see it. All of it, Father. Not, he was looking into everything the Father was about to give him. And he says, I pray they be with me to understand what all you've given me, Father. He was not only looking at that generation that wasn't going to obtain what our generation, he was looking at our generation too. Say, our generation. He walked right up into our generation and said, I will, because I'm not praying for these only, but those that will hear these words, I pray they be with me where they can behold my glory as the final king that's going to walk in this earth. The King of glory, that they may see it. Father, let them see it. Let them see everything you've given me. Let them know what you've given me. Let them know who they are and what's about to happen in the earth. It's really not about us. It's about him getting inside us, getting that king in our body. It's about getting that finished work, not of the cross, that finished work of the King of glory. That Psalms 24. Who is this King of glory? Getting him in everything he possesses there. And it's a lot. I'm building the Constitution so we can just kind of know what's there. It's all sitting on that website. You've been here long enough. But it's what you see. Not in the realm of knowledge, but in the eye of the heart. Because when you bring these words to him, you got a promise now. Your glory, Lord, you have given me. You have given me the right to pray this prayer. You have given me the right to receive that everything I see you to be, that you will be in me. My body will become your body. You will come and make your abode. We always saw that as his love and his presence. And it is his love and his presence. But it's your revelation of who he is. That's who's going to come dwell with you. If you have no revelation of the King of glory not stepping up into you. It's your revelation of that verse. Say, it's my revelation. It's what he shows me. That's why he prayed that next prayer. Show them, Father. Show them what I have. Because if you don't show them, they won't know who I am about to walk in them. Father, I need a generation that's going to know me like this. I need a generation that's going to obtain. I need a generation I get to step into with all my glory. The kingly glory. The priestly glory. The early rain, the latter rain, the ark, the crown, together with all my angelic hosts, I want a generation that knows who I am inside of them. That is what we're after. I and them as King of glory. Father, thou and me with all your glory. With the angels too and the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes. We're going to shake up the heavens and the earth. With the manifested sons of God that are going to walk the face of the earth. That's what we're going to receive. That's what we're after. That is the pinnacle. That's what we got to fix. That's what those little inkling devils are trying to get you all messed up and get your in disharmony so your eye doesn't stay fixed. He wants us there. He goes, I want a face plant. Front and center every day. Nothing is more important. I told Anna, I said, nothing. And I mean, nothing's more important than standing in front of him and obtaining him. To get him off his throne and stepping into our body. He's going to redefine Christianity. He's going to redefine the operations of Christianity. He's coming with power and generational wealth. He's coming with a wisdom like he walked in. Wisdom in the back of your head, in front of you, to the side, knowing everything that's going on all the time. He's coming with all of that. He's going to take residence. And he's going to demonstrate the kingdom. But here's the key. He wants to stand in a whole generation. That's what he wants to do, is open a final church. A church age where he opens the church, the house of David, and he comes and stands and takes residence. I know he's standing because he said it about the two witnesses. He says, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of heaven. No, the Lord of the whole earth. He doesn't step down. He may not be seen by the world, but he'll be seen by his church. He'll be seen when he steps on the Mount of Olives, but all of this glory will already be down. It'll be the greatest dispensation of grace given to the world before judgment. And if they don't receive his grace, woe unto them, because they're going to receive his wrath. But the crown is holding both of them. Grace first. Grace like no other generation was ever given. Display of glory. Display of the omnipresent omniscience of God. Display of his love, his power. He's going to show the world that you're not in control of the wealth. I'm in control. I'm going to put wealth in the hands of my people like they've never seen before. And if you can't receive me in this movement, wrath. But both, he's coming with all of it. When he steps out, there is no, it's finished. When he steps his foot down in us, he is beginning an initiation of the last days. He will initiate through our bodies, through our hands, through our feet, through our eyes, through our mouth, through our heart. He'll take over our temple. And he'll walk as the living God, as the Son of God, but as the King of glory. Initiating the authority, power, and dominion of his kingdom in the earth to fulfill his word. My Father and I will make our abode. That's what he's saying to us. We'll make our abode as the final stone, the crowning stone. There'll be a day we'll pass that baton, and he'll stay here, and we'll be lifted out, and we get to watch the rest. He'll keep on going because he's not going to stop. When he starts, whoever gets him off the throne, and there is a generation that's going to get him off the throne. When that begins, he's coming to open the book. When he comes to open the book, he's setting it. And Daniel said something like, the books were open. The end was sealed. How did he say it in Daniel? Go over there and I'll close. Daniel 7. For this season, if I can encourage you, implore you, whatever, set your face like a flint. Because what he is doing right now, what he is offering this little church, you got to be able to set that eye. You have to be able to see it. He says, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like this. I've got this in the first section of the Constitution. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. They brought him up before the Father. That's what's happening to you. You're being brought up before the Father. You're receiving this guy. This one. This is who you're receiving. This is what he's got with him, by the way. And there was given to him a dominion and a glory and a kingdom and a people and a nations and language who would serve him. His dominions and everlasting dominion will not pass away, in his kingdom which shall not ever be destroyed. All of that when he says, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's some of the things he had in mind. Look at verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Verse 21. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against him until the Ancient of Days came. When the Ancient of Days stepped down, it's over. Verse 22. In judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Booyah! Look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times, laws, and they shall be given unto his hand for a time, times, and dividing a time. That's the final 3.5 years. And then what happens? But the judgment shall sit. Say, the judgment shall sit. And he'll take away his dominion to consume it and destroy it forever. the judgment's going to sit. Listen, when he walks off that throne, that judgment's already been pronounced. We're not going to be in that day of it. We have our own day, but you have to know that's who's coming. He's coming as King of Glory in grace first, and you can say amen. He's coming to bless his church. He's coming to take his house and take it far greater than Solomon ever took it. He's coming to grant a wisdom to his people far greater than Solomon ever walked in. He's coming to bring a divine order and a glory to his people far greater. And he's going to display the splendor and the majesty and the glory. Before he takes us out, we'll be a glorious bride. Walking with who? A glorious king. The king. The bride dressed in the gold of Ophir. There's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 65. It talks about the bride and the king. And see, she's with him now. He's come down. We're not going to serve him from a distance. He's coming down. Thank you, Father, for the glory tonight. Thank you for the realm. Thank you, Lord, you sitteth king forever. But we have sat down too. And here's what the Lord says. He says, ascribe the glory and then come and sit down. And come sit in all of it. For all things are yours. And then we will all get up together. And we, all of this throne has burning wheels of fire. This throne will come down into the earth to display the splendor, the glory, and the majesty. Father, take our body. King of glory, take this body. Take this soul. I'm amazed that you would want to do this in us, but you will and you want to. We receive you to stand in these hands, heal through these hands, walk in these feet, possess this heart, possess this mind, possess this body to where my will is no more, that I may live the most glorious life ever. Yet not I, but Christ in us. I trust your will and your life will be far, far greater than anything I could have ever done. Tonight, we receive you. I in them, Father, thou in me. That they may be perfected in the oneness.